call yourself a Christian. We want to look at Christian liberty and what the Bible teaches about that. Because many of us don't even have foundations or foundation for what we do, how we act. In 1 Peter chapter 2, I said to reopen to that, verse 16. I said we're looking at the title, and you call yourself a Christian. As free, and not using your liberty for a cloak of maliciousness, but as the servants of God. I'll take that again. As free, but not using your liberty as a cloak of maliciousness, but as the servants of God. So, the scriptures teach that anybody who is born again is free. Galatians chapter 5 and verse 1. The Bible teaches us here, stand fast in the liberty. Stand fast in the liberty wherewith Christ has made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Make sure you read your Bible. Don't look at me. Stand fast in the liberty wherewith Christ has made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Say, we are free. Say it again, we are free. Alright. Look at verse 13. For brethren, you have been called unto liberty. You have been called unto liberty. Only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. So the Bible teaches that we are free. See, freedom in Christ is definite. We are free people. And we're going to look at the scriptures to look at what does it mean to say we are free. Some of us sing it. I think the last Fortress Camp meeting, I'm free indeed. I'm free indeed. You know. But you see, you are free from what? They don't even know. Often uses illustration of this slave in America in the 15th century. 16th century or 17th century, thereabout, who was a slave. Of course, when you're a slave, you do everything your master wants you to do. So when the declaration was made that everybody should be free, they banished slavery, first of all, from the South, I think, then the North of America, before they amalgamated into the United States. So this fellow was set free, a black, you know, slave. Said, you can leave. So, as he packed his stuff and left the yard and the compound, he was wondering. You know, in those days, if you tried to leave the compound, they'll send maybe some security people after you to arrest you. Sometimes they'll shoot them. So he was going carefully and carefully. You know, after a while, he walked like 500 meters away. He said, don't let me play with my life. He walked back and asked the boss, sir, I don't know. Are you setting me up? Like, you're asking me to leave? Are you sure this is real? The guy said, no, it's not me. He said, the government, you know, has set you free. He said, eh? So when he left the place, he went to the city. And again, he was acting strange. You mean I can buy things by myself? You mean I can own a house? Now, he was free, but he had to work on his mind. I was saying yesterday in the workers' meeting, the length of time your mind stayed in the world will tell you how much work you need to do on it to renew it. Some of us have minds that are, you know, bogged down. And so, when you don't know these truths in God's word, there are certain things you will do or not do, and people say, and you call yourself a Christian. And because you do not have the idea of what's in the Word of God, it's very likely that you will be condemned. Many times confused. Praise the Lord. Let me see if you follow what I'm saying here. You are free, just like that slave. But then you leave, and then you feel, Hey, imagine if you enter some churches today, as flamboyant as they are, and then a sign shall appear in the heaven. Jesus Christ is coming in the next 10 minutes. I can bet you, many congregations where they wear trousers and then ladies wear nothing on their heads to cover, they will rush to get a scarf. They rush to wear, because really, their mind is not exactly free. Their consciences are not liberated. They just, hey, you know he's coming now? Hey, let's forget all this Christianity nonsense. So let's face it, God looks for holiness. So they'll go and, you know, veil up because they don't know the truth in God's word. And there are many of us like that who have no idea of what is right and what is wrong. Hallelujah. Freedom in Christ is real. John 8:32, Jesus says, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Then if you continue my word, John 8:31, you shall be my disciples indeed. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Notice what will make you free. The truth shall make you free. It is in the knowledge of the truth. It said the truth shall make you free. In verse 36, John chapter 8, verse 36. He says, if the Son shall make you free. Hallelujah. I said, hallelujah. You shall be free indeed. So the truth is the Son. John 14, verse 6. I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. Jesus is the truth. John 5:39. You search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life. But they are they which testify of me. Jesus is the truth of God. He's the truth in God. He's the truth about God. John 1:1, in the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him. Without Him was not anything made that was made. The Bible says, in Him was life. And the life was the light of men. The light shines in darkness, and darkness couldn't comprehend it. Talking about Jesus. So it's the truth. So the way you know Jesus, Jesus makes you free. And when you are free indeed. You are not free and not free. You know, some folks think they are free. They have been told they are free, but they are not really free. It says, when the Son makes you free, you shall be free indeed. The Bible says you are free from the law. Galatians 3:13, Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law. Galatians 3:13, Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law. As it is written, cursed is everyone that hangs on the tree. He was made a curse for us, that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles, those who receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. So, he says you have been redeemed. The word redeemed means to be set free by payment. So he says you have been redeemed from the curse of the law. Hallelujah. Set free. Romans 6:14 says sin no longer has dominion over us. Because we are not under law, we are in grace. Let me show you that. Romans 6:16 and Romans 6:19. Look at it. Romans 6:16. I want you to read something. So it says we are free from the law. Romans 6, again, verse 16. Know ye not that to whom you yield yourselves, servants to obey, is servants you are to whom you obey. He says, wherein, whether of sin unto death, or of obedience unto righteousness, but God be thanked. Hallelujah. Let's take 17 together. One to go. But God be thanked that you were the servants of sin, but you have obeyed from the heart, the form of doctrine was delivered unto you. Verse 18. And being made free from sin. Being made free from what? Go on. You became what? Say, I'm free from sin. I am the servant of righteousness. Look at verse 20. Let's take it together. For when you were the servants of sin, you were free from righteousness. Verse 21. And the fruit that you had then in those things whereof you are now ashamed. For the end of those things is death. Verse 22. And now being made free from sin and become servants to God, you have your fruit unto holiness. And the end. Verse 23. For the wages of sin is death, and the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Can you say amen to that? Amen. So you are free from sin. You are free from the law. You are free from sin. You are free from the law. Colossians 1:13. He says, He has delivered us from the power of darkness and has translated us into the kingdom of His dear Son. So you are free from the devil, from the kingdom of darkness. Don't forget, you are free from sin. You are free from the law. You are free from the kingdom of Satan. The Bible says the whole world lies in the wicked one. 1 John 5:19. The whole world lies in the wicked one. But it says the Son of God, verse 20, has come. And He has given us an understanding. That we may know the one and only through God, even eternal life, Jesus Christ. Verse 18 says, He says, whosoever is born of God does not sin. The wicked one cannot touch it, because God Himself keepeth. So, you see, we are free from the devil. We are free from sin. We are free from the law. We are free. And the Bible says, when the Son makes you free, don't forget, you didn't set yourself free. You know, maybe you have set yourself free before. Somebody tied you and then you got yourself free. And because you set yourself free, you're trying to run away. And the same person can still get you and put you back in whatever bondage he put you in. Maybe one time you wanted to leave the house. Then your dad locked the door. And then you found a way to get out. You know. But you see, the next time you can still lock the door again. As long as the keys are with him. So you are not free indeed. But the Bible says that the Son shall set you free. Nobody can get you anymore. Hallelujah. The Son shall make you free. You are free indeed. You are free in reality. That is, every step that you take, everywhere that you go, you are a free man. Say, I'm free. Say, in Christ Jesus, I'm free. Now, that's very easy to understand. For many of us, it's easy to understand. We're free from the law. We're free from sin. We're free from the devil. We will sing about it. But then, there's an aspect of our lives that we never, most of us never bother to imagine how free we are. Colossians chapter 2. I mean, this was our clear things. If you talk to religious people, say you are free from the devil, they say it's true. Thank God for Jesus. Say we're free from the law, say, well, they can say, well, that's true also. That's true also. Say we're free from sin. Say, oh, glory to God. We are free from sin. But then look at something. Colossians chapter 2. Yeah, there's amen. All right. I'll start from verse. Try to see where. All right. Let me start from verse 16. Now, I'll take it from ten. But you are complete in Him, which is the head of all principalities and power. And in whom also you were circumcised with a circumcision not made without hands. In putting off the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ. Notice the circumcision of Christ. Verse 12. Buried with Him in baptism, wherein as you are risen with Him through the faith of the operation of God, who hath raised Him from the dead, and you being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath He quickened together with Him, having forgiven you all your trespasses. Can you say amen? Can you say amen to that? That's what Christ has done. You didn't do that. He did that. Now look at verse 14. Blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us. Which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to His cross. Hallelujah. Having spoiled principalities and powers, He made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. Let no man, now look at that. He says, He has spoiled principalities and power, made a show of them openly. Are we together? Good. Now look at 15 again. Having spoiled principalities and power, He made a shoe of them openly, triumphing over them in it. Now look at 16. Let no man, glory to God, therefore judge you in meat or in drink. The word meat there is food. Or in respect of a holy day, or of the new moon, or of the Sabbath day, which are a shadow of things to come. But the body is of Christ. Verse 18. Let no man beguile you of your reward in a voluntary humility and worshipping of angels, including those things which he had not seen, barely puffed up by his fleshly mind, and of holding the head which from which all the body by joints and bands, having nourishment ministered and knit together, increase with the increase of God. Wherefore, if you be dead with Christ from the rudiments of the world, why, as though living in the world, are you subject to ordinances? Taste not, handle not, which are all to perish with the using, after the commandments and doctrines of men. Did you see that? Touch not. Taste not. See, handle not. These things will perish when you use them, he says, after the commandments and the doctrines of men. So we're not just free from the law of Moses, as we have seen, or from sin alone, or from the devil. We are also free and at liberty to use things. Here you get the body, you are born, you say, well, now that you are a Christian, can you imagine? Now that you are a Christian, you must not do this. You must not do that. They give you the laws. You must not wear this. You must not watch this. Years back when I got saved, I belonged to a church then. Well, people didn't use the word television. So bad. Remember one time, Nigeria was playing a game. And I had to watch the game back. And we had fellowship. So I ran away from fellowship to watch the game. That was the year, I think, Cameroon beat Nigeria by 1-0 or something. I had to watch the game. The kind of sermon I heard after that was twofold. Number one, I forsook the assemblies of God's children. Number two, I watched the devil's box. And I felt that, you know, sometimes you leave, when they are through with you, there's a burden on you. In fact, I remember one brother looked at me and he said, with all this, and you land in everlasting fire, the lake of fire. So why did you accept Christ at all? That day I cried. And you call yourself a Christian. Praise the Lord. Some guys talk like that. But the Bible says, taste not, touch not, handle not. They are all after. Now, you know what? He had already taught you that under the law, they had the things they had to eat, they had the things they had to drink, they had days they had to keep. He said, but these things are a shadow of Christ. Now, it now goes to, this is not doctrines of men. This the law. Now, those ones are a shadow of Christ, are not doctrines of men, they are not commandments of men. Those ones were commandments of Scripture. But we are fulfilled by the death of Jesus. Now, we now go on to say, this one says, taste not, touch not, don't do this, don't do that. These ones are after the commandments and the traditions of men. See, a lady, a sister, have you go to someone's house and let's pray? Shall we pray? She said, sorry, sir. She looks so miserable. I asked a lady to say years back, I said, what if you had to pray in the bathroom? She answered me swiftly, I'll get my shower cap. Very ridiculous. So I said, all right. When Jesus was going to raise Jairus' daughter, Did he ask them to cover her hair first? Lest the power of God doesn't get to her. Because her head is open. When Peter was going to raise Dorcas, say, has she covered her hair? See, you know all these new generation preachers? Because people don't know why. We are going far. Just relax. The Bible says, taste not, touch not, handle not. So these things will perish with the using. That is, it has nothing, no value. He says, it doesn't stop sin. That's what 23 says. He said, it will perish with the using. Some folks don't wear earrings. You say, why? I've heard some terrible doctrines. For instance, some folks don't know why you wear rings when you're married. They think it's a church doctrine. It's not a church doctrine. Interestingly, it's a tradition from Egypt. Many folks don't even know. I'm wearing it. I'll tell you why later. I'm not Egyptian, I'm a Nigerian. But they don't wear rings. What in the Bible? Royalty wore rings. In fact, if you read the story of the prodigal son, what we call the prodigal son, when he came, the father put what in his hand? A ring. So, I say, but God is against gold. He's against gold. No. He says, silver and gold is mine. He didn't say it's ours, mine and the devil. It's ours. I said, why would our sisters, you know, someone asked me, but if earrings was of God, they asked me, why then are children not born that way? I paused. I've had challenges with people like this years back. I paused. She thought I was dumbfounded. She said, I got you. You're right. I said, do you know what? I said, why are children born with Jerry curls? And then why do you have to cut your hair? Leave it like God made it. We'll just say you're a Christian Rastafarian. All those things, we just get endless genealogies that will have no answers. But the Bible is clear. Praise the Lord. 1 Timothy chapter 4. Look at this. Now this one. Now the Spirit speaks effortlessly that in the latter days, at the times, some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with the hot iron, forbidden to marry, and commanding to abstain from meats. Look at that. Commanding people to abstain from certain foods. What you see meats in the Bible is used for food. Alright? Is that okay? Okay. Which God had created to be received with thanksgiving of them which believe and know the truth. Let's take verse 4 together. For every creature of God is good, and nothing to be refused, if it be received with thanksgiving. Did you see that? Every creature of God is good. Every creature of God. Everything God created said is good. Nothing to be refused. Romans chapter 14. Praise the Lord. Verse 1. Him that is weak in the faith, receive ye not to doubt with disputations. Now, you know what he said? He said, some folks who do some things are weak in faith. He said, don't begin to doubt his Christianity. You know, some folks are like that. When they see someone who is weak in the faith, and he has certain beliefs, they will doubt his Christianity. And you call yourself a Christian. Are you sure you are going to heaven? As though they give him the keys. Are you sure? Are you sure you are really born again? Search your heart. You know, way back in those days, when we begin to preach like that, who will dig deep. You dig deep. Because you have to have an altar call. At all costs. The altar must be filled with lamps. So you hit people hard. Serious case. One preacher went to a church in Ibadan. The popular preacher today. And he preached that every woman who's got earrings and then has bangles and necklaces is a witch. He said it's a witch. See, they're witches. My God. So as he gave the altar call, he began to do them deliverance. I know women, they were screaming too. So as they were dropping the earrings, they were saying, they were going round and round. And then gradually, their husbands were leaving the service. Going home to get the load of the witches out of their homes. Praise the Lord. Verse 2. For one believes that he may eat all things. Look at that. One believes that he may eat all things. He says, another who is weak eats herbs. That is, he has restrictions. I can't touch this one. Another who is weak. You know, we will think he's the one that doesn't eat all things that is a strong Christian. He's spiritual. But he says here, the one that is weak begins to give himself laws. One thinks he eats everything. Look at this. Let him not that eat despise him that eats not. And let him not that eats not judge him that eats. For God receives him. Now notice, the one that has laws will judge. The one that is free will make fun of the one that has laws. You understand that? You know, you believe, you know the scriptures, you just say, well, there's nothing wrong in eating this. So you laugh at the fellow who says, no, this is wrong. He will say, and you call yourself a Christian. Think you are born again? You know, one time, Donald G was one of the leading ministers in Assemblies of God years back. He traveled to Australia. So, as he got to Australia, he was now invited to the pastor to eat with the pastors and the pastor's family. So as they began to eat, they began to serve wine. So, Donald G said, wow, wine in a pastor's house? A friend of mine went to Germany to preach, 2002. As he opened the pastor's fridge, he saw beer. Eh? Holy Ghost fire. He's a Nigerian pastor. So, do you know what Jesus said? He was still wondering, Lord, how do I start a sermon here now? And then he heard a voice from his spirit say, take it, don't take it. He was still wondering and wondering. And then the pastor said, Brother Donald, we hear that there are still some American Christians taking coffee. How do you handle that kind of lifestyle? He said, he took the wine. Praise the Lord. We'll explain that later. They'll say, so? Look at verse 4. Who art thou that judges another man's servant? For his own master he stands or falls. Yea, he shall be old enough, for God is able to make him stand. One man esteems one day above another. Another esteems every day the same. Let each man be what? Persuaded in his mind. Now, notice this. He that regards the day, regards it unto the Lord. He that regards not the day to the Lord, he does not regard it. He that eats, eats to the Lord, and he gives thanks. He that eats not to the Lord, he eats not, and he gives thanks. None of us lives for himself. No man dies to himself. We're going to see the relevance of this later. For whether we live unto the Lord. Whether we die, we die unto the Lord. Whether we live, therefore, we die, we are the Lord's. For to this end, Christ died both. Died and rose and revived, that he might be Lord both of the living and the dead. Why does you judge your brother? And why dost thou set at naught thy brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of God. For if it is written, as I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to me. So that every one of us shall give account of himself to God. Let us not therefore judge one another anymore, but judge this rather, that no man put a stumbling block or an occasion to fall in his brother's way. I know and I'm persuaded by the Lord Jesus that there's nothing unclean of itself. Can you see this? Can you see this? There's nothing unclean of itself, but to him that esteems anything to be unclean, let him, to him it is unclean. If thy brother be grieved at thy meat, how that walkest thou charitably? Destroy him, not him, with thy meat, for whom Christ died. Let then not your good be evil spoken of. For the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. Praise the Lord. We'll see the rest later. So he says, if somebody says one thing is wrong, because he believes so, to him it's wrong. If one says it's not wrong, to him it's not wrong. Hallelujah. Oh no, sir, what are you saying? Hold on. Praise God. Matthew chapter 15. Even Jesus faced these folks. Remember, one preacher was on the pulpit for 30 minutes. He was preaching about trousers and skirts. I said, don't you have a Bible? So I said, why did he say so? I said, he's reading from a fashion magazine. Because how can you spend 30 minutes talking about fashion? You can imagine. And most time when people talk about trousers a lot, it's because they admire it. So they are full of confession. Matthew 15. Look at this. And then came Jesus. They came to Jesus, verse 1. Scribes and Pharisees, which are of Jerusalem, saying, why do thy disciples transgress the tradition of the elders? For they wash not their hands when they eat. No, the tradition of the elders. Told Jesus. See Jesus? He said, he answered and said unto them, why do you transgress the commandment of God by your tradition? Why? Verse 6. You have made the commandment of God of none effect by your tradition. That's what he said. Look at verse 11. Not that which goes into a man defiles a man, but that which comes out of a man, this defiles a man. Now we look at what goes into the man. Jesus said, is what comes out of the man. That defiles a man, not what goes into the man. Now hold on. Hold on. We are not, Jesus has said it here, it's not what goes into a man that defiles a man, because everything that God has created is clean. 1 Corinthians 10, Paul says, look, the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. Isn't that true? Psalm 24 verse 1. 1 Corinthians 10, 24 and 26. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. Everything belongs to God. I know there was a book written by a brother. I don't know whether it's a brother. Imar Leni. I don't know whether you've read the book. Imar Leni. Delivered from the power of God. Sorry. Power of them. No, sorry. I think it's the power of God, really. Where you read that all the air products are made under the water. And you see educated Christians believe that. Jesus washed away your sins, not your brains. All things passed away. It didn't include your intelligence. Amen. How in the world can you go to university and graduate and be told they make hair products underwater and you believe it with machine? Hey, when you look at the components of a hair product, you see it there. You can do it yourself. You're a scientist. The beautiful cars like Lamborghini in those days, under the water. How? That's why unbelievers think we're dumb. It's a spiritual issue. Say gold wristwatches, Rolex. Funny. Say it's from the devil. When you see the one that has leather straps, not leather straps that the threads are coming out, and then you have the one that they're not gold plated, you can see that they are carved from different metals. then the hand of the clock is moving to and fro. This is of God. This is the blessings of God. Amen. See, everything that God created is good. Now, hold on. We're talking about things, not sin. Bible is clear about sin. Fornication is a sin. Sexual relations between a man and a woman is a sin. Don't say, I'm not persuaded. I mean, you're a sinner. Amen. Fornication is a sin. Sexual relations between a man and a woman that are not married is a sin. And a married man with someone who's his wife is an adultery. That's Bible. When you have 10 naira and it's how much you have, you say you have 11 naira, you have lied, it's a sin. When you exaggerate, you have sinned. Don't say, I'm not persuaded that exaggeration is a sin. I think it's diplomatic talk. You're a sinner. Lying is a sin. Anger, that things are words that don't edify, is a sin. Adultery is a sin. 1 Corinthians 6, let's see that. We're not talking about sin. Amen. We're talking about things, not sin. Things don't make men sin. Men use things to sin. Okay? Can I take that again? Physical things don't cause men to sin. Everything is good. Rather, men use physical things to sin. Is that very clear to you? Alright. Should I take it again? Physical things don't make men to sin. Television is not from the devil. I preach on TV. So, and people have been blessed. Have learned God's word by TV. It doesn't make people sin. But you can use television to sin. You can use television to commit sin. You can watch the wrong things on television. In it. Are we together? And that will be sin. But things do not cause men to sin. I am delivered, praise the Lord. Once I was bound by the chains of Satan. I am delivered, praise the Lord. You go to your house. You know, when I was in university, there was this lady, classmate of mine. I saw her, first few days when we were in school. We just resumed. Looking pretty. She wasn't badly dressed. She looked very pretty. And she's very intelligent also. She's still intelligent. So she just came back from one convention. Then she looked stripped. No earrings, no chain. She had no makeup. And then she had this hairdo that looked like she had been through incarceration. So the boss said, what happened? The Lord touched my heart. Say, I understand the heart. What about your hair? I understand it can touch your heart. But what happened to your hair? Did he take your hair away? Say, bro. Well, in the last days, I said, that's in 2,000 years. What happened the last days? Well, she took her earrings, bought by her parents, took necklace, put it in the latrine. Number one, isn't that wasteful? See, that's stupid. She changed what she was wearing and say, she's ready for heaven. Say, how many days time? Say, I don't know. Then you shouldn't be like this if you don't know. At least wait till you know. You know the funny thing? The next semester, she put it on again. She had changed church. By the next session, she went to another church like that. She removed it again. I said, one day they will remove you. You have nothing you stand for. Now we're not talking about sin. We're talking about things. 1 Corinthians 6, alright? See? Verse 9. Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves of mankind, nor thieves. See that? nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. Verse 11. Such were some of you. Hallelujah. But you are washed. Glory to God. You are sanctified. You are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our Lord. Can you say amen? Amen. We're not fornicators. We're not idolaters. We're not adulterers. We're not effeminate. That's effeminate has to do with homosexuals. We're not abusers of ourselves and mankind. We're not thieves. We're not covetous. We're not drunkards. We're revilers. We're not extortioners. We are sons of God. Hallelujah. Galatians chapter 5. We're not talking about sins. No. We're talking about things. We're told, we've just said that we've been delivered from sin. Okay? Galatians 5. Verse 19. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envies, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of which I tell you before, as I have told you in time past, they will do such things, shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Ephesians chapter 5. That's clear. Verse 5. Okay. For this you know, Ephesians 5, that no whoremonger, no unclean person, nor covetous man, who is an idolater, have any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Let no man deceive you with vain words, for of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. Verse 7, be not ye therefore partakers with them. Is that clear, everybody? Alright, so we're talking about things, clothes, food, music. You know, one time I played a song in my car that didn't have Jesus Christ, the Lord of Lords, on it. And one brother just made his face like this. In a pastor's car. And he calls himself not a Christian, a pastor. He just judged. He judged because he can't see gospel tunes for all the nations. And I asked him a question. Do you sing the national anthem? Yes, I do. Your school song? Yes, I do. A, B, C, D, E, F, G, Jesus Christ is Lord of Lords. Isn't it? You just need to place burdens on your mind. You feel that you have left Christ. How can you? I will mention some of my favorite musicians to you. Lest you adopt them as Christian musicians. I know brethren. You mention some of them. Yeah. Ah. Pastor. Wapelaye. Praise the Lord. Some folks say, well, Christians shouldn't watch movies. The only thing you should watch is Christian television, even though they lie on it. Movies. Movies. Don't watch movies. Well, I watch movies when I have time. See movies. Not because it's me, that's not why it's right, but I do. Intelligent movies, I watch them. I do. So don't feel like a sinner. When your pastor comes to visit you and you play the movie, you say, who's at the door? Pastor. Oh God. Hold on, sir. Sir? Are you the one, sir? Okay, sir. The pastor comes in and you play dumb way. I just want to be where you are. You know, say, you are growing spiritually. Yes, sir. Bless you, sir. Thank God for your word, sir. Hallelujah. But the guy comes in, he sees you play a film. And you say, huh? James L. Jones. James Bond.
call yourself a Christian? Oh no. Will you be ready?
Hallelujah. Some folks wear clothes, eh? Even unbelievers now know the doctrine. Go to evangelical trials and say, are you sure you are a church person? Are you sure from what? So are you born again? So I'm not born again, but I know that a Christian trousers. I mean, some people, they just, and you say, sorry to the unbeliever. So he begins to preach to you. So he wins your soul. Praise the Lord. Is there gospel music? There's nothing like that. Music refers to instruments, the sounds that come out of instruments. So you can't have gospel music because that will sound somehow. The keyboard now becomes a man of God. As heavenly. Worldly. In those days, we say, you've started listening to Dudukadu. Dudukadu. So Christian music is Jesus. Unbeliever music is No. That's not the Bible. That's the way we have made things look like. Amen. 1995, I was in someone's room in UI, Kuti O, friend of mine. So we're playing a song by Kaman. You know Kaman? Who's in the house? You know? Just having fun. So these two people came into the room. One had, you know, the bandana. Then the other one is trousers was like the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. So they came in. We want to share the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ with you. I guess they had a problem with the music in the background. But you know the funny part was that because we were preachers, on the bed we had splashed Bibles and materials, they ignored that. Yeah, to who is in the house? Hey, JC. So we're all sitting. And then he said, I came to preach the gospel to you. So she will try and quote a scripture. I'll complete it for her. She'll say, for the first time, in after 5-10 minutes, they now looked around and saw Bibles. Okay, you are fellow brethren. See how religion blinded them. I said, I suggest that I believe so. Sailor. So, well, I need to also share with you that this road is very hard. I said, which one? Said to heaven. Said, how long is the road to heaven? Said heaven. Said, heaven is far from here. It's also a long road. No car can take you there. I said, no. I'm saying that there are problems on the road. We have to hold on to the end. Said, thank you. All right. Bye-bye. No, they would have left feeling, on the last day, only true deliverance will be found. Hallelujah. And when you don't know the Bible, they can leave a burden on your mind. They'll just quote a scripture and go and say, "Aye, Shuke." You know Shuke? You're not born then. What are you looking at? Shuke! You don't even know what I'm talking about. Baby. You say they're in trousers. And she can't even explain. Say, why are you in trousers? Say, God does not mind. God does not look at the outside. Look at the outside. Look at the inside. Is he blind? Or there's a sensor that doesn't make him see what you're wearing. God doesn't look at what I'm wearing. Look at what I'm wearing inside. Christianity is of the heart. Hardcore. Think you're talking to your boyfriend. You see, the Bible talks about clothes Deuteronomy chapter 22, verse 5. Are you learning something? Are you sure? Deuteronomy 22, verse 5. For the first time this morning, in many years of ministry, I remember this scripture. I purposely don't remember this scripture. Verse 5. And the woman shall not wear. Always is the woman that suffers. It's very easy to have a man wear something that looks decent, you know. You see, Bray, you have nice suits, looking sparkling, nice ties, nice wristwatch. You don't have to pierce your ears. Nice shoes. Bless you, sir. But then the lady, she becomes a scrutiny because she is still suffering for what she did to Adam. Even if Christ saved you, we will not save you. Verse 5. The woman shall not wear that which pertains unto a man. Please put in italics, trousers, in case you want to be a Bible translator. Neither shall a man put on a woman's garment. Now, oftentimes we don't get to that, because that will be controversial. For all that do an abomination to the Lord thy God, Lord bless the holy reading of his word, shall we go home. Amen. Well, don't end there. Let's go further. Verse 8. He says, and when you build a new house, then thou shalt make a battlement for thy roof. Thou shalt bring not blood upon thy house if the man shall fall from hence. Verse 9. Thou shalt not sow thy vineyard with diverse seeds. Those of you who plant maize and rice in the same place, let the fruit of thy seed which thou hast sown and the fruit of thy vineyard be defiled. Thou shalt not plow an ox and an ass together. Verse 11. Thou shalt not wear... Alright, this is it. T.M. Lewin. Thou shalt not wear... Even Taylor Laurent from Yaba, you know. Thou shalt not wear a cloth of two colors. I mean, of two materials. Okay? Of woolen and linen together. Are you blessed? Oh. Didn't you read that? There's a part of Deuteronomy. I don't want to go to that one. That is, you mustn't shave. Everybody here is guilty. How many materials do you have there? You must have linen, nice one, right? One says you must have diverse colors. So don't just quote verse 5, quote the whole law. Verse 5 doesn't mention trousers. It says, the verse 5 is the law that forbids homosexuality. That's what it's talking about. It's not talking about trousers, because if you read further in the Bible, we should ask a question, and often ask people, what exactly pertains to a man? What pertains to a man? Some say trousers. What pertains to a woman? Skirts. Hey, Africans didn't used to wear skirts. They wore wrapper. Eh? So? Some of you go with traditional wedding, Igbos. You tie wrapper, your wife ties wrapper. That was partaking with the woman. Skirts never came from Africa. If you read your Bible very well, men in the Bible wore skirts. The Bible says the oil will flow from the head of Aaron to his skirt. Psalm 133. Jesus had a skirt. Paul had a skirt and a girdle. Amen. Was it talking about trousers? Nope. Not at all. Not trousers. When it comes to clothes, clothes are a function of customs and traditions of a people. Alright? They are not a function of Bible doctrine. in Scotland, men wear skirts. Clothes, food. And I was in Guinea years back, and I was about to eat. They said, "Enjoy this gracious meal." I said, "Ah, I brought out the pork. Thank God for my life. I brought out the fork and knife." Then my partner, a very senior man, said, "Shego, you're about to take show boy." I said, "What's that?" "Monkey." "Mom, what?" "Hey! Hey!" I said, "Oh." "But I saw people devour monkeys." I said, "What?" "Because that's food to their culture. When you come to Nigeria, you do your wedding and you say, on the menu you have monkey." You rest assured, nobody will drop gifts for you. Everybody go with their gifts. "Ah, monkey? I have a feeling when you're eating monkey, you're eating a human being. I have a feeling." But that's culture. Praise the Lord. Food is about culture. Amen. Clothes are about culture. Are we together here? So, people have come with customs of clothing. But the Bible doesn't mention clothing. It mentions that which pertains to a woman. That means, don't come out of the house wearing your wife's clothes. That's what he's saying. Don't come out of the house wear your husband's clothes or your brother's clothes. Then you will be presenting a tri-humbati identity. Like you're an homosexual or bisexual. That's an abomination. But the Bible is not calling for department of tailoring in church. Those who measure our trousers and tell us what to wear and what not to wear. That's a commandment and a tradition of men. Let me see if you're following this one. We talk about hair. Can a Christian make a hair? I have preached a sermon before. Some 22 years or 21 years now, I said, "You sisters going under the oven, what do you call that? Dryer." I said, "You are only testing waters with hellfire because the fires of hell are coming upon your head." Then the sister said, But in my heart, secretly, I liked it. But religion made me not like what I like. I like trousers more than skirts on women. I couldn't admire the woman who wear trousers. Never. Even as a bray, I knew it deep in my heart. I just couldn't preach it because I didn't know it. When I was condemning it, I liked it. Amen. I like skirts, but I prefer trousers on women. I don't like skirts on men. That's me now. So I'm talking about your hair. Should you make your hair? Then they quote scriptures for it. 1 Peter chapter 3. Are you getting some out of this? 1 Peter chapter 3. "Likewise, you wives, be in subjection to your own husbands, that if any obey not the word, they may, without the word, be won by the conversation of their wives. While you behold your chaste conversation coupled with fair, who's adorning." Now, you see, there's a way you can read what you want to read. Some of us scored A1 in English language, but when we get to the Bible, we forget who we are. We forget we have brains. We forget we can read English. We forget we just say, no. The Bible has another meaning apart from English. Look at it. "Whose adorning, let it not be the outward adorning," verse 3, "of plaiting of hair," okay, "of the wearing of gold, or of putting on of apparel. Let it be the hidden man of the heart, in which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which in the sight of God is of great price. Now look at what he's saying. He's saying, you woman, let your adorning that will win your husband over, let it not be clothes of beauty, let it not be what you wear, but how you conduct yourself. So he's saying, rather than major on the air, on the clothes, on the gold, major on your conduct. A meek and quiet spirit, which is incorruptible. That is, clothes can be corrupted, hair can be corrupted, but that meek and quiet spirit in the sight of God is of great price. He's not asking you not to wear gold. He's not asking you not to arrange your hair or make your hair. Because if that was what it was saying, then verse 3 will mean, do not, look at this now. Verse 3 will mean, don't make your hair 1. Don't wear gold 2. And finally, don't wear clothes. How do you look like to have a church like that? I won't come. He's saying it's not about clothes or gold. In fact, he's endorsing gold, yeah, and arranging your hair well. But that's not how to win your husband. You win your husband by quietness, by meekness. He says, for after this manner, verse 5, in the old time, the old women also who trusted in God adorned themselves, being in subjection unto their own husbands. Can you see what he's saying? He's saying, adorn yourself with submission, not with the clothes. Let me see how you understand that claim. He's not teaching, don't wear gold. 1 Timothy chapter 2. 1 Timothy chapter 2. In like manner also, verse 9, the women adorn themselves in modest apparel, with shamefacedness and sobriety, not with braided hair or gold or veils or costly array, but that which becomes women professing godliness with good works. Again, he's teaching good works. That the way you should put, what you should put on should be good works. Not clothes, not costly array. Now what attracts, what brings out godliness are your good works. Again, he's not teaching against gold. Hey, he's not. Gold belongs to God. Anything that teaches taste not, touch not, handle not, is not after Christ. We're free to use things. We're free to use what we like. One of the things Christ does for you is a liberty of your will. To exercise your will. To buy the kind of car you want to buy. I have some cars I like. I have some places I want to live. I love to fly first class. I don't know about you. I love to. I've flown business class. I've flown by bus before. I've flown by bikes. Sorry, did I say flown? I think so. I've flown by air. I love air. I love the air. Fast, you're in Abuja. Fast, you're back. 6 hours, you're in London. 6 hours, you're back. I just like it. One time I flew by business class. For the first time, my life never remained the same. I liked it. Because I do. I can't lie that I don't like it. Because I do. One time I was going to a friend's place. I was going to preach, so I was going to a friend's place. So I got really beaten by the rain. I was drenched in serious water. So I got into that house. Oh, sorry. I got a very lovely apartment. I got up, I got my clothes off. They got me a house coat. Nice sparkling slippers. Never been in one before. Took my clothes to dry clean. Then they gave me fresh milk. Oh, Jesus. My God. Never taken fresh milk before. I was used to Dano. It's fresh milk. And then they gave me bread. Oh, my God. I said to myself, I can never be poor. Amen. Who doesn't like money? Not you, not me. Paul like money. I do. I don't like money. Why is it in your pocket? How would you put something you hate in your pocket every time? Praise the Lord. Say, we're free. In the name of Jesus. 1 Corinthians 11 talks about the air. And some folks always go to church with scarves, not knowing why. Say, why should the Bible says I must cover my head with scarf? Well, you're wrong. 1 Corinthians 11. Alright. I will take you through the stress of going through all the scripture. But people always think that Paul was talking about covering your head with scarf. Well, he never did. Cover your head with scarf. He says in verse 4, every man praying or prophesying having his head covered, dishonoreth his head. Every woman which prays, 1 Corinthians 11 verse 5, or prophesies with her head uncovered, dishonoreth her head. For that which is even as all as even she was shaven. Now, again, Paul begins to deal with culture, okay, of a place. But then that's not the emphasis now. So he begins to talk about the head. But everybody seems to read air instead of head. Now, when you go to school, from, I know my son knows this, my daughter knows this, my daughter is just 2, and she knows what I'm going to say now. This will not be a revelation to her, that the head involves the hair, the nose, the nostrils, the eye. My daughter knows that. She's just 2. My son knows it very well. Unconsciously, she touched your head. He will touch this. You know, the head involves the face. The neck takes on the head. Right? That's just integrated science or health science. When people read the Bible, the head stops here. Are we together? The head stops right above the hair. They just lose their mind. Almost like a case of temporary psychiatric problem. Because you look at it. He uses head and hair. And look at what he says. He says in verse 14, does not even nature itself teach you that if a man have long hair, it's a shame unto him? Can we take verse 15 together? One to go. If a woman have long hair, it's what? Amen. She doesn't, she's not incubus and succubus. If he has long hair, she doesn't need deliverance. It's glory to her. It is a glory to God. Glory to her. For her hair is given her for what? Her hair is given her for what? So what covers the head? Because in the culture where Paul was ministering in Corinth, when a woman shaves her hair and she's shaven, she's deemed as a woman who is loose and licentious. So Paul is saying, if you shave your hair, he's saying you dishonor your husband if you're a woman who is married. Because people will see you as licentious. That's the culture. So he says your hair is long so that it could cover your head. But then some people begin to say, well, sir, it depends on the length of the hair. It depends. They say, okay. Verse 16, let's see. If any man seems to argue, we have no such custom, neither the churches of God. So was it a custom of the church? No. And this is the area some people will do series. Praise the Lord. I love long hair. My wife has long hair. Don't go and touch it to know. I'm just telling you, I love to touch my wife's hair because it's long. I love long hair. Why is this pastor so carnal? Thank you. I love long hair. You can't take away my liberty to like what I like. Amen. Go to a church, you have long hair, beautiful hair. They say, sister, you had a dream. God was chasing you. Yeah. Need deliverance. And she comes, beautiful sister, looking nice. You know, yellow. Whenever you're yellow, you're in trouble. Whenever you're too black, you're in trouble. Long hair, you're in trouble. You cut it, you're in trouble. When are you not in trouble? Our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ is not about things. It's about a person. Not about things. Not about what I don't wear, or what I wear, what I eat, or what I don't eat. And oftentimes, it's on that basis, people judge your faith. The Bible says the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. When it comes to things, non-essentials of Christianity, things you wear, things you eat, things you don't eat, it's all about your conviction in God's Word. It's not about a doctrine. It's not about a teaching. lady didn't wear earrings. You know, people think earrings, for instance, have to do with the custom. It's your custom. People believe a woman looks more beautiful with earrings. I do too. So they make it possible for her to have earrings. What if a man puts on earrings? Do it in Nigeria? Whatever happens to you. You do it in America? See a man with earrings? He cannot be a Christian. Why? He has earrings on. Scripture and verse, I don't have. I just know. Hey, that's your conviction. I just know he's not a Christian. So has his hair Jericho. Ha! Ah. He has Vaseline. Say why? His hair is Jericho. One brother, I think my wife was there, I was showing him, his name is Ayo. So we had a very nice haircut, and then we're talking, you know, it was computer person, so we're, you know, talking and all that. So I said to my wife, or someone else, I said, look, when we were in secondary school, this guy saw a teacher who was a Christian make her hair, and he cried to the gate. Yeah, she's going to hell. He was really crying. He never changed his uniform for 2 sessions. He said because it would be flamboyant. He was a student. Now, he decks jeans and nice tops. Does that mean he's free? Depends on why he wears jeans. If he's wearing jeans because he feels, I can do anything I like. We'll see that later. Praise the Lord. Our faith in Christ is not about things. Let's go to some very technical things. Alcohol. If you see somebody with star on his table and a Bible beside him, you say, ha! Ha! Holy Ghost fire will finish you now. See the Holy Book of God! Even though those who printed the Bible with you are not Christians. Check the printers, the publishers. The guy's likely to have just taken a cigarette as he's doing the printing. Color, am I right? He wants to cool off. So he prints one page, another page. Changes the plate. You take the same Bible and you're shaking. Amen. Sister! Ah! He says, I'm born again. But what? You're born for hell. And you call yourself a Christian? Oh my God. Amen. See someone who smokes. Is he born again? He says, yeah. You? Never. You cannot be a Christian. Say, why? Because you're smoking. Scripture and verse. I don't have any. But I know. Because I wrote the book of Samuel that says, thou shalt smoke, thou shalt go to hell. Amen. Now you're quiet. I got you. Just look at alcohol. What's the name of the child of pride? Amen. Religion has gotten a hold of all of us, you know. I admit. 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 23, Paul writes to Timothy and says, drink no longer water only, in the proper version, but use a little wine. Someone says, put wine. Where? Stop deceiving yourself. For thy stomach sick, and thy often infirmities. He didn't say put wine, he said wine. John, the book of John, Ephesians chapter 5, verse 18. Be not drunk with wine. He didn't say don't drink wine. He said be not drunk with wine. He didn't say don't drink wine. He said don't get drunk with wine. Wherein is excess, but be filled with the Holy Spirit. He didn't say be not drunk. He didn't say don't drink wine. He said be not drunk with wine. One of the qualifications of a bishop was that he must not be a drunkard. He must not be given to wine. He didn't say he must not drink wine. were given to wine is addicted to wine. That's what it says. Addicted to wine. Now some people say, well, he's talking about fruit wine. No, he didn't talk about it, he's talking about wine. Because in John, our Lord Jesus Christ, King of Glory, the Son of God, God in man, who died for man, and he rose as a man. What became flesh and dwelt amongst us? John chapter 2, went to a wedding. And some folks will say, well, the wedding was a Christian wedding. No, it wasn't. Nobody got saved until Jesus died. Praise the Lord. And then the wine was finished. And then Jesus asked them to fill the water pots. And then he asked them to draw and bear to the governor of the feast in verse 8. The ruler of the feast had tasted the water that was made wine, knew not where it was. Servants drew the water new. Who did the water new? The governor of the feast called the bridegroom and said, look at verse 10. Every man at the beginning doth set forth good wine, and when men are well drunk, alright, see this? Then that which is worse, okay, but that has kept the good wine until now. So Jesus even gave them a better brewed wine by the workings of miracles. Maybe you need to know that the wine at the Passover had alcohol. Okay? Amen. Now you have changed your faces because I know where you came from. Passover wine had alcohol. Let's get home here. Everybody that eats bread takes alcohol. Isn't it? Right? Am I wrong? You take alcohol. Everybody that takes Panadol here take cocaine. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hey, give him a sound here. Don't get me off now. I'm talking about cocaine. right? We take alcohol. So ask me, do you take alcohol? I have never. Save one time I tried to take beer when I was 7 years old. I have never. Drank alcohol? No. Remember when I took the alcohol? I was 7. I just discovered that there was a miracle. The ground became tall. I didn't know. It was sweet. I took half a bottle. And it was champagne. And I think later my mother told me that it had a large degree of alcohol. But since then, I had never taken. But taking alcohol is sin? Nope. It's not in the Bible. Praise the Lord. Someone is happy. Thank God for pastor. 1 Corinthians chapter 8. Now Paul teaches here and says, as touching meat offered to idols, verse 4, he says, we know that that an idol is nothing in the world, and there's no other God but one. So we know. But look at verse 7. Howbeit, there is not in every man that knowledge. Same thing in chapter 10. We'll look at that next week. He said, there is not in every man, that knowledge. In 1 Corinthians 8, some people think there's an idol. So because of that, Paul says, look, you have to consider what they know. 1 Corinthians 10, the same thing. Food offered to idols. So you know the earth is the Lord's, but they think and they believe that this food is for idols. So we know this truth. Number one, it's very important for you to know this truth, that alcohol taken is not a sin. Not at all. What about somebody smokes? It is not a sin. Because Jesus just said it's not what goes into a man. Right? But what comes out of the man? In fact, they called Jesus a wine baba. Are you aware of that? They called him a drunkard. Jesus, our Lord, our Savior and Master. You must know this truth. just like Peter in Acts 10, do not call unclean what God has called clean. Matthew 12, Jesus broke the laws that people held as traditions. And he told them, hey, David, do just about the same thing. Now listen to this. Oftentimes when people engage in these things, maybe they take wine or take alcohol or these things, you'll find people, believers, condemn them. You see that Jesus had the same thing. Matthew 15 verse 2. You call yourself a Christian. How in the world will you convince me you're a Christian? Matthew 15, 2. Why do their disciples transgress the tradition of the elders? For they wash not their hands when they eat. Mark chapter 7. Same thing in verse 5. Why walk not thy disciples according to the traditions of the elders, but eat bread with unwashed hands? Okay. So, people will accuse you and they will call you names. They will bring questions. Why do you do this? And usually a couple of us, you know, because we don't lack knowledge, or because we call lack knowledge, pardon me, are ready to classify people straight away. The way they dress, what they have in the air, what they took right before us. And we say, he's not a Christian. I say, why? I saw him take alcohol. Why? I saw him smoke cigarettes. Why is it the same? It's the same. Why is it the same? It's the same. It's just the same. Because my pastor said it's the same. Well, your pastor is yet to write an epistle. When he does, we'll believe him. Oftentimes, we deal with the conscience. That's what we're going to go in the next session, next week. The conscience. Everybody's conscience is strong or weak according to the knowledge of the Word of God that he has. Whenever your conscience becomes to worry you or disturb you, oftentimes it's because of the kind of knowledge that you have. I never used to. I could never have done some things I'm doing today. I could never have worn a ring when I was younger in the faith. Because I had been taught certain things, so my conscience will bear witness of that knowledge I have. Conscience is a function of knowledge. So you will feel bad. The fact that you felt bad at something doesn't mean it's wrong. And doesn't mean that feeling bad is wrong. That's where we have to allow the scriptures to judge our actions and not the things or people to judge our actions. You cannot function beyond the level of knowledge that you have. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. You cannot function beyond the knowledge of God's word that we have. I'll close like this. Always learn to differentiate between traditions and the scriptures, customs of a country, a people from the scriptures. Always know the difference. Do the scriptures respect culture? We're going to see. Always know the difference between culture and custom and the scriptures. 2 Timothy 2:15 says, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that need not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. 2 Timothy 3:15 says, thou hast known the holy scriptures from a youth, and thou it has made thee wise even unto salvation through faith that is in Christ Jesus. All scripture, verse 16, is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be thoroughly furnished unto every good work. Always know the difference. Some things we do them because of culture and tradition, not because of scripture. Now, don't forget, I was never referring to sin. You can't tell me that, well, in our culture, a woman must be pregnant before she gets married. That's a sinful culture. We're going to see all that later. We have seen it clearly in the Bible. It's not what goes into a man that causes him to sin. All things are created by God and they are good. Amen. Praise the Lord. So I say, we got some cultures in the world. The way you take coke, they think coke is a sin. They think alcohol is healthy. Some cultures are like that. So you don't go to such places rather than preach Jesus Christ. You now begin to preach customs. As a missionary years back, we worked together. He used to preach in India, sometimes 94. He gave us this wonderful testimony I'll never forget. I'll close with that. He went to a place in India to preach, and then he kept preaching Jesus Christ, the bread of life. And everybody just didn't get what he was saying. He had a rough time. So one day he was praying, and the Lord said to him, change that statement to the rice of life. He didn't get into his mind. But see, if he had studied scripture very well, Jesus being called the bread of life had to do with the food of that particular community, which was bread. Bread to them was food, typifying, you know, what their fathers had in the wilderness. So therefore, to call him the bread of life is the food of life. But these folks didn't eat bread, they didn't even know what it was. So he changed the rice of life, called an altar call, and people rushed to receive Jesus. So he got to know that bread was strange to their culture, rice was familiar with their culture. Sometimes like that, we're fixated in our minds and our traditional beliefs and how to approach issues. So every time somebody calls you and says, and you call yourself a Christian, say, I am. I have believed in Jesus Christ. He died for my sins. He rose for my sins, for my justification. By His stripe I'm healed. I have the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. I have eternal life. I believe in my heart that God raised Jesus from the dead. I am saved. The kingdom of God is not in things, it's in Christ Jesus. Righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. Were you blessed? Stand to your feet, give God praise. Thank Him. We are free in the Word. We are free in the Word.